Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah,
that's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza.
Showtime!
Rich, can you just go
It's about fucking time someone...
I'd like sweet on me.
Well, you were making eggs from young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. For the show, then go direct to DLMGS.org. And I see channels and Linux Tech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1135 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And so, two things. And, I don't think it'll apply to you at all, Joe, and not to me, but, that'll be second. First, I guess it was, going around the news about 2 weeks ago, as we're a little late, that, France is ditching Windows in their government for Linux. They're using Gentoo, which was the distribution that their police system built. So that sounds pretty interesting. And they also have their own office suite. And I guess like right now it's just in the, I went to check it out a little bit. It's not much more than for lack of a better word, like almost like a GitHub page about it. I don't know if you can actually download their distro somewhere. And the office suite that they're using, I'm trying to remember because this was going back 2 weeks when I looked at this, that their office suite is not, I don't think it's built off of LibreOffice or even OpenOffice. It's some like office suite that I guess a company built. I'm trying to remember what it was.
That's interesting, I guess.
It's La Suite Numérique.
Yeah, did you see their reasons for switching over to Linux and getting away from Microsoft?
Wait,
did
I miss
Copilot?
It?
No, the reason that they're switching away, their stated reason is that they don't want to be reliant on American technology.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Eh. Okay, whatever.
Oh, you don't like that, Joel?
And because Microsoft, much like your various Chinese companies, sends so much metrics back home.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And they don't like that. So, I mean, you've seen other cities, other countries and things like that try and switch to Linux before to save money or whatever. But now I'm thinking with a different reason that you might see it actually like, you know, stay in place a little bit longer. Because every other place that has done it for like a year and then switched back to Microsoft.
Well, you look at us with the routers, you know. Speaking of which, they expanded that too, by the way. They expanded to include mobile routers too. Yay!
Well, one thing the French government also has going for them is they already have an established Linux distribution that their police force has been using for a couple years now. So it's just extending that further out.
Microsoft also keeps screwing things up with their own stuff as well. I mean, it's been a shit show for Microsoft in the last 2 years.
And Copilot isn't helping at that at all now, is it?
Oh, it sure isn't.
Seems like they're relying on that a little too much to do their latest updates.
Well, Copilot, Copilot, and then there's also this really weird in some areas anti-data center thing, which all seems to be centered around AI, when the reality that people don't really realize is how much we as a modern world rely on data centers. I mean, there's literally nothing you do, you know, with exception of maybe writing on a piece of paper, that doesn't use a data center somewhere. Watching TV, going to the store, even driving your car probably has some sort of thing that's reliant to the data center, especially if you use technology like OnStar or anything like that. So, yeah, that's something to think about there.
Data centers and AI data centers are kind of, you know,
they are and they aren't. Because it just depends on who's building the data center. For example, if it's any of the big three, almost anything could be in there. It could be AI. It could be Azure.
Right. I think the major difference right now is that most of your regular data centers actually have, you know, a number of employees greater than one.
Right.
And most of your AI data centers that are costing millions of dollars and using, you know, millions of gallons of water are hiring like maybe one or two people to run it.
Maybe. I think the number I heard was more like closer to 250. It's going to depend on who's doing it. There might be like that might be the permanent, but they have other folks coming in there like to do installation work and electricians and all that stuff
still,
that continue to do work
that,
there.
Are you talking about 250 to and set it up and then?
No.
Occasional employee, like contract work that comes in. It's not something permanent, but
yes.
But for a $60 million facility or however much it costs that, you're putting into a city that's using all these resources, including electricity and water, and it's only providing 250 jobs, that's kind of pathetic.
Well, it all depends on how you're building it too. Plus, I know, I did some research on both, well, really all three of the big ones, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. And they're all putting some sort of effort towards either paying to activate infrastructure. Like I know, for example, in Pennsylvania, they're actually activating, Microsoft's paying to activate, the Three Mile Island, reactor that wasn't in a partial meltdown, the only one that worked after the meltdown. They're paying to reactivate that. They're paying to refuel it and all that stuff so their powers the Copilot AI. And other things like that. I think, Google, next to the Google data centers right down the road from my church, they have huge solar fields. So, you know, they're not building, especially the top
at that
three,
location, which means
right. The top
Google.
Three, right? But the top three aren't necessarily, you know, there. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't bad companies out there that are building awful data centers, because there probably are. But the top three, I don't think, are the ones we need to worry about with regards to sustainability and stuff like that, because they're all they don't want to use any more power than they need. No, so they're doing what they can to build them sustainably. But the fact is, though, is the more people use AI and more people use online services like Netflix, Amazon, whatever, you're driving data center demand. So if you're in a town, you don't want a data center to be set up in your town, stop using it. Become Amish. That's literally the only way I know how you can probably stop it. Cause the rest of the world probably ain't gonna do it.
I don't think the option there is either use AI or become Amish. I think.
Right. I'm not saying use AI or become Amish. I'm saying don't use these streaming services. Don't use anything that would possibly use a data center. Because there's an AI data center can be used for just about anything. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be AI. This is just CPUs and graphics processors. I mean, it's all the same thing, you know.
Right, but the bulk of the data centers that we're talking about that are being put in are primarily for AI. I mean,
some, yes. It's going to be driven by that, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about setting up Netflix data centers for streaming video and YouTube and everything. Sure, there is that included in the growth of these things, but yet at the same time, that's not what's driving the majority of these data centers, isn't
right.
Streaming services and Office 365 right. Sans the AI portion, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, you know, eventually though, it's not going to make a difference because, AI is being incorporated into literally almost everything. It's even, you know, like, you know, you can't get away from it in some cases. You know, cause you could like, well, great example is the product my company announced last week, Lucian Student, you know, it's all driven by AI.
Does it work well?
Don't know. I haven't used it yet.
Well, that's what's going to be the problem here. They keep shoveling this stuff out.
Right.
And you say, well, you could either use it or you can.
Well, what I will say about it.
It's being shoveled into everything and then people are just going to stop using everything.
Right. What I will say about it is the way they're marketing ours is that it's not, they said AI guesses, which is true, AI guesses, but, ours is more of what the same kind of AI that they use for, developing the Artemis 2 mission. Where it's I think they call it descriptive AI, but basically we're feeding our experience as a company dealing with higher ed for the last 50 years, and using that knowledge to improve it so that our AI isn't just guessing, it's a guessing based on experience. So that puts significant guardrails on things. So, you know, I can't really speak too much from it. You know, it's a really, very new product. That's not one I'm not hugely involved with, but I'm hoping to get involved in it. So, but it's like, you know, it's, and main reason I want to know it is I want to keep a job, if you know what I mean. But
yeah.
So, you know, but you know, there's, you know, but data center demand beyond, before even the AI explosion, it has been on the up and up, you know, going up and up. You know, Amazon has built multiple data centers all in the Ohio, all US East. Actually, Ohio is turning into one of the data center hubs in the nation with so many data centers springing up. I think everybody's got one here. Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, they all have a data center here somewhere. But all of it really close to us, actually. Very much like Ready Player One when you think about it. Except we don't have stacks yet.
Give it time.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of things, Joel, did you hear Linux Kernel 7.1 removes the amateur ham radio drivers.
Does it?
Yeah.
I did not hear that. I don't generally use it for that.
Oh no, Joel.
Well, I you know, as much as I want to work radio, I haven't had the time lately. Oof. But, you know, and I never connected it with, you know, I don't use the digital modes, on HF. You know, the only thing, I do a lot of handheld work, but they've updated the Southeast Linux Fest website. Did you see that?
To add amateur ham radio?
Well, I'm sure they're having test sessions again, but. South
not 2020. On the 7.1 kernel.
South of the East Lakes Fest 2026. The theme this year is Fallout. Like the game. So. The Southeast Linux Fest, Linux and a New South, voted number one by Mr. New Vegas. So, yeah, White Cars is doing testing there again.
So, I got an email today that I was a little bit excited about. One of the, local, Linux, Unix users groups is, hosting a talk for, an introduction to Proxmox.
Yeah.
On May 14th. And they're doing it in conjunction with one of the users groups that I'm actually, you know, or was previously more involved with. But, anyways. So I got that email today and I was a little bit excited and I was talking about it with my coworkers and their first question was, well, what's Proxmox? And you know, I can kind of understand that. And my answer is, you know, well, it's a hypervisor and their response is, well, what's a hypervisor?
Well, yeah, what's a hypervisor?
And
your response was,
oh my God. What the hell? How can you work in tech and not know what a hypervisor is?
Right. I don't even know that, what that is.
So yeah, I had to ask them after they said they didn't know what a hypervisor was, if they knew what a VM was.
Right.
And they knew what a VM was, but like, they didn't know what containerization was, and they barely knew what Docker was.
Right.
So, yeah. I didn't know whether to feel like a nerd or just disappointed.
So are you going to be attending or are you going to be participating in the talk?
I'm going
to
be attending. I'm going to be attending.
There you go.
Maybe you could run the talk too.
I could probably give a talk on it, but, they're also like, they said if there's enough participation, then they're going to do another talk on like, what is it? SIF?
I don't know.
AIF or what?
C. C. Hold on. SIF. It's the
Common Ceph. Internet File System.
C E P H.
Oh.
Ceph.
Oh, the Distributed Storage System.
Yeah. So I'm interested in the Proxmox talk, but I'm also hoping that they do the follow-up talk on Ceph.
Are you running Ceph?
I am not running Ceph. No. That's one of the reasons I'm interested in that talk.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be able to go to that, but they also have, they're also going to, have an online version of it as well, so I could attend virtually if I can't be there in person.
Right.
But yeah. Oh, and there's like one other person that lives close to me that might be interested in going. And so hopefully there'll be somebody that I know there.
Wait, where is it again?
It's in Plano.
Oh, how far is that from your place?
Not far. It's about like 2-3 blocks from where I work.
Okay. Well, you know, when you talk about Texas, not far could be like an hour and a half away.
Yeah, right.
Depending on, you know, like your perspective.
Well, that makes it about like 45 minutes away with traffic.
Okay. Yeah, which reminds me too. I need to top off my easy pass because I'm driving through West Virginia next week.
Speaking of that, I know here in Virginia they're doing away with Easy Pass. I mean, it's still going to be usable, but they're switching just to license plate reading.
They may still have it for folks in business that want to pay for it, and need businesses too.
It is still like I'm sure you'll still be able to use Easy Pass, but.
Right, Pennsylvania does that too. They just send you a bill in the mail based on your plate.
Yeah, I don't think you can sign up based on your plate.
Or you have an account and
it
automatically takes money out.
Right.
then yeah, it just does it by your through. License plate instead of the tag.
Yeah, you don't have to have that RFID tag anymore.
Yep, but I'm going to drive through there and be a week from Friday. I'm driving down there for the South Carolina Mammoth March at Kings Mountain State Park. 30-mile loop, dude.
That's going to be great. I'll be right back. I gotta run those errands, like I said. I'll be right
back. Okay. 30 miles. I've got the trail 2,700-foot elevation change. Kind of scary. Well, not scary, but, you know, definitely more than some of the other ones I've done, and definitely more mileage, so...
Yeah, I don't worry about, like, if I were to do a 30-miler, I wouldn't worry about, like, falling out. I know I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other until it's over.
Same. Yeah.
But I kind of worry about the afterwards, the recovery, the refractory period.
And that's really important, too. Like last week I got a blister on my pinky toe, my right foot, and I did do some running while I was in Denver. Mostly in the gym because I don't really, you know, running downtown, I don't really feel like being Frogger, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the hotel actually had really nice treadmills, but one thing that I neglected to really realize is, how much, since I'm sitting on a show floor, how much I'm wearing shoes compared to how much I normally wear shoes, which is, probably 3-4 hours a day I wear shoes, you know, cause I'll go to the gym in the morning, then I'll do something in the evening, and those are the only two times I wear shoes. If I'm sitting at my desk, Joel ain't wearing no freaking shoes.
Right?
So I think that's what happened is my foot swelled, and cause at first I was worried about, did I pick the wrong set of shoes? Cause my ultras are, I could still use them, but they're getting to the point where they're pretty roached, you know? So I went and bought another pair of running shoes. I bought some Hoka Mach 7s, which so far so good. I'm liking them. They're a bit more racy than, my Ultras or my Clifton 10s I had before those, but I do like them. So, and that's my next set of shoes I'm doing my training run. Then did 5K in them this morning and I'm feeling great. You know, but I'll have probably both sets of trail runners. I'll have a better idea Thursday next week on what trail conditions are. Then I'll finalize my loadout, what I'm going to take with me. It's either going to be my 6-liter lumbar pack. Or, you know, we used to call them things fanny packs back in the day. Or it'll be my, 24-liter, Stratos, pack, which is, both of them by Osprey. Those are my packs I use. In fact, I'm going to be putting an order in probably later tonight, for First Form to get some, trail supplies, hydration stuff that I want to take with me. So. But my meeting up my cousin there, I switched my hotel room because when I first made the reservation, I thought I might have one or two of the guys from my church doing it with me this year, and neither one of them could do it. So my room was $466 originally,
did
and I'm
you
like,
no, hold on,
yes sir.
I just saw this ad.
Yes, sir.
I'm watching this ad right now, and I don't usually watch ad, but evidently there's a new injection specifically for obstructive sleep apnea.
Is there?
Yeah.
I'll
like
have to look into that,
a
then.
Weekly injection. It's tirzepatide, which is I think it's a GLP-3.
Yeah. I'll have to ask about that next time I go to the sleep apnea doctor, but that would be interesting. I'll take, now when I went down to Denver and probably when I'm going down there, I am taking my travel CPAP just because it's less hassle, less space, you know. It's about the size of a pop can. It does work well. But So I switched up my hotel room yesterday to a much cheaper room. It's actually in South Carolina instead of in the Charlotte area, but I'll still have to drive through there, I think. I'm staying at a Sleep Inn, so ultra cheap. I think it's the same one my cousin in. My cousin is decided to do it with me too. But there's two cutoffs in it, neither one of which I want to actually hit. You have to make it to mile 11 and a half by 11:30. My start time is 6:30. That should be doable. If you don't make it there by 11:30, you know, if you don't make it there till after 11:30, then they make you go the finish the 20-mile loop, and then you get the 20-mile medal, which that's not what I want to do, obviously. So and then the next one, which is a hard stop, is at mile 21 and a half, which is the final food aid station. And if you're not there by 3:30, they will bus you back, and you get the 20-mile medal, which obviously I don't want to do, especially since I pre-ordered the freaking 30-mile t-shirt. So, also none if I can maintain, let's see, I have to figure out, if I do a 3 mile an hour pace minimum the whole time, which I'll definitely probably do better than that. So say 30 divided by 3, that's 10 hours. So that should be doable. And I'm gonna try and push to go real fast in the flats, because I know for some of the hills, it'll be, time I'll have to slow down, you know, but I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait, and I'm probably also going to turn on, I have an InReach Messenger now. I'm going to turn on the full messaging thing so that I can send out messages as much as I want via the satellite, which is pretty dang cool. It's different than, like my Pixel 9 Pro does have satellite messaging in it, but it's not as complicated as doing it on a phone when you do it with that, because it just works over your Bluetooth. So, but yeah. So let me see. South Carolina 30-mile loop. So it's nice thing here. They do have a total of 3 food stations I'll hit. So it's food, water, which that's the stop 5, which is the last food stop. Then there's one final water refill at probably about 3 miles out, and no toilets at that one. So hopefully I don't have to pee at every stop. It's going to be fun. Right now forecast is, which will change obviously. Like Monday I was getting a little concerned, because like when I woke up it was fine, but then like later in the day I checked it and it said, oh, it's going to rain 90% of the day. And that's changed already since then. So right now it's looking okay. So Blacksburg, South Carolina. And let's look at the 14-day forecast. So right now it's saying 75-degree high, 59-degree low. The day before is 52-degree low. So I'll probably start off with my zip-off pants and maybe a fleece jacket, which means I'm probably going to take my bigger pack so that I have some place to stuff the jacket and the legs for my shorts. But it's all about, you know, just keeping that steady energy flow as I do the trail. I won't kind of a little bit disappointed that at least what I saw, unless event details change. They usually tell you, like, who the different food sponsors are, right? And that's usually the where, you know, the kind of stuff they'll have at the, aid stations, right? So one of my favorite ones that we had last year, doesn't appear on the list in South Carolina, which is the Quantum Energy Squares. But that's okay. They got Nora as in N-O-O-R-A functional blends, which if you look up that on the web, it's kind of looks like a little bit like, those applesauce packs, you know, with the little thing you rip off and suck down. Drinklets is hydration again. Rainstorm is the energy drink. Bare Bones, and I hope they have more than their broth, because that's the last thing I want to drink on trail is a steaming cup of broth.
Brain makes some good energy drinks.
Yeah, it's the Rainstorm, so this is that specific line. My favorite that they have in that line is the grape one, because grape's always awesome. They have That's It snacks, so I assume they're going to have, like, the fruit bars and stuff like that. Kindling pretzels, I think are pretzels. Kindling protein pretzels. And they'll usually have the, you know, peanut butter and jelly, yeah. Kindling protein pretzels, and they have four different flavors. Dill pickles, sea salt, honey mustard, and garlic parmesan. I think garlic parmesan sounds like the one I'd like.
But it's always cool to check,
always cool to check out what they have in the, in those aid stations there. Of course have some protein bars of my own in the pack for the first few miles, but, never did 30. Yeah, we'll see if Joel can do it. I'm pretty sure I can. I think I'm feeling, the thing I gotta remember is that, where I started the first one last year to now, let's see, let's take a look back. So June last year, I can look at, see, that's the cool thing about having a smart scale is I can look, what did I weigh last year? Alright. So we look at all. So June of 2025, which is when I did the Indiana one, I weighed 220 pounds. I weighed 203 pounds, right now. So I'm lighter. I'm stronger.
Ooh.
Kicking ass on the leg press too. I did, my final set, my leg workout this week on the leg press was 637 pounds.
Start putting weight back on. Start putting on that muscle.
Well, see, I am overdue for going to get my, third InBody. I do need to go get that. I've been trying to get InBody every month. I did drop a little bit of, muscle. Probably primarily in the legs, from the first one to the second one, because Joel did a stupid thing and, skipped leg day every other week. So. Now I'm not skipping leg day, but I'm doing my upper body usually twice a week, although last week I did not do it twice a week because I was just dog tired because I was on all the time. So plus then there was the team dinners, the glorious team dinners. Ugh. Where'd Joe go? Oh, well. We went to, I had Indian in Denver, I had Italian, and I had Mexican. Oh, there he comes. So he'd be back right now. What happened, man?
Oh, I switched devices.
Ah, okay. So I was talking about, my team dinner. I actually had curry for the first time ever, last Sunday. Not this last past Sunday, the Sunday when I was in Denver. Went to a Indian restaurant called Mitt, and I had a Hyderabadi, curry with chicken in it. quite delicious.
How do you go most of a lifetime without eating curry?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean,
it's freaking delicious, man.
Right?
And they asked me, well, how spicy did you want it? I ordered medium, and it was just right. I wouldn't necessarily call it medium, but it wasn't oh my god hot. So
should have got it hot.
I did try, and that's the other thing too. Like, there's a Indian lady. Her name's Hema, who's vegetarian, and she had ordered some pakora, and I think it's pakora, and some vegetarian stuff. And I tried some of it, and I was blown away with how good they made vegetables taste.
I switched devices so I could come in the living room and hang out with my wife.
Ah.
I actually like her.
Yeah.
She's pretty cool.
Now, I did get a check from a lawyer this week.
A check from a lawyer this week?
Yeah, on my son's car. We got a lemon law. They didn't give us enough money to pay it off, but it's definitely going to help us go find another car. Cause I'm tired of taking his Chevy to the dealer cause it's one of the Korean made Chevys. And it's had all four door lock actuators replaced and the AC fan has a mind of its own. And I'm done dealing with it.
Well,
so we're going to go to Toyota or Honda.
I have replaced all the actuators for all my windows in my Buick. But my Buick's like a 2001.
So right, your Buick's an old car though, so I mean, yeah. This is a 2024.
Replaced. Yeah, they've gotten replaced a couple of times actually. Right. And you know, sometimes the replacements last a while and then sometimes they just suck. But this time I had to not only replace the actuator for the passenger side in the front. I still have to do the driver's side rear. I have to replace that actuator. But I think it was last year or the year before I had to replace the driver's side front actuator. But this time I also had to replace the switch because it was just way too busted. So
right.
Yeah. But it's not hard. I mean,
no.
Wait, did you replace it yourself or did you get
it? Yeah. No, I didn't. But, I also have to replace the passenger side on my wife's van. And now that one is a pain in the ass. This will be the second time I've had to do that. But the rails are, instead of being attached to like the outer assembly, you know, the actual frame of the vehicle, they're attached to the portion of the interior that has to come off for you to be able to get it. So,
isn't that great?
Yeah, you're magically supposed to be able to hold it into the correct spot so that you can get the bolts into place so that the door will actually, like the interior covering of the door will actually stay where it's supposed to stay.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a pain in the ass.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I have to order that part. I probably should have done that this last week, but the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to – I think we're looking at either a RAV4 or a
Nissan Juke.
No Nissan. RAV4 or a Honda CR-V or the HR-V or the Corolla Cross. Well, yeah, that's the four we're looking at. Unfortunately, the dealers are right next to each other, so, I don't really think we should go new, but I think we are gonna go new, just, you know, because.
Dude, buying a new car right now is horrible. I mean, with the way the pricing is and how much it's worth.
It's not my choice, man. It's not my choice. It's my wife's choice. So, she's...
Wait, how's the pricing work?
Oh, it's horrible. But, Let me see what Toyota West wants for a RAV4 right now. That's our closest dealer. I mean, they're nice.
Look, I'd rather have a hybrid too,
but to be honest. But.
I'd love to have a newer car, but I don't think I'm going to go like much past 2019 or 2020.
The thing is anything after that, even back then, kind of sucks a little bit.
Yeah. No, I'm aware. But, you know, it's getting harder and harder to keep older cars put together. And, you know, right. A lot of your newer cars, yeah.
Same thing.
Hard to work on, but they get better gas mileage.
Get better gas mileage and everything's fucking made out of plastic, even shit that shouldn't be made out of plastic.
I agree. And I don't really like a lot of the control systems that they have.
Right.
I mean, where everything is, you know, on a monitor or a display of some kind, and it's all touchscreen. So if your touchscreen goes out, you have no control over anything. If your screen goes out, you don't even know what the hell's going on anymore.
Yeah.
It's not like you can replace, you know, like me, I had to replace the control for the AC and the heat. But that's like, it was a $75 part, which, yeah, did kind of suck. But it's like, what, it was like 3 bolts, 4 bolts, and a connector.
Right.
But could you imagine trying to have to replace one of those displays?
Yep, I can.
Oh.
Now, I'm looking at, let's see. I don't like any of these.
Plus, with everything on a singular screen, like a lot of these vehicles have, especially your electric vehicles. I mean, how many menus do you have to go through to be able to switch back and forth between like your stereo, your HVAC, and all your different things just to get anything done instead of paying attention to, now, you know, driving down the road?
I think the Honda is a little cheaper. But like the one RAV4 they got, there's a red one over at Toyota West now. It's $46,000. What's the Corolla Cross?
It's pretty bad when your cheap vehicles are $46,000.
That's their mid range. You know, the Corolla Cross is closer to what he has, and they're about $28,000, which still is ridiculous. But you know,
ridiculous.
Yep. Yep. The bad thing is used cars aren't that much different in some prices. It just depends on what you're looking at. You know. But, yeah, like a Soul Red Corolla Cross is $33,644. What's the Honda? Let me look at Hugh White, which is the Honda dealer over there. I will say this, the HRV is ugly as fuck. And I don't want that one. I don't even think, do you make a Fit anymore?
The Honda Fit?
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So the Honda CRV is a little bit cheaper. It's about 30. See, it's about the same price. Actually, the Honda is the cheaper of the two. And in my opinion, a little bit nicer too. They look nicer anyway. I know I'd go to Chevy again, but the problem is anything that's kind of similar in size is going to be made in Korea. And that's part of the problem is because the Trax and Trailblazer from Chevy are essentially rebranded Daewoos, and they're not very good.
I'm not sure. It might have been 2019 is when they phased out. They're still making them, but they're just not selling them in the United States as of 2019.
I kept trying to talk them into maybe going just a straight up Camry or something like that, but no.
And you're buying a brand new one, or?
Probably. Not my first choice, but let's see, what's the HRV? I don't care, it's not like I even got to drive the tracks for that matter. Let's see. The shit of it all is he's going to get a new one before mine is. Mine's older, but mine, other than just maintenance, that's all I've done. The only thing that I may have upcoming on mine is tires. So, let me see. Where is this thing? Model, there we go. I need to expand the model. They got 54 HRVs over there. And they're about $32,000. I don't like how they look, though.
But doesn't matter to you, huh? It's what your son wants, right?
Yeah.
And your wife, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, she's got to get driven in it because she doesn't ride. Hey, I will say this, at least with the Honda, both Hondas that we're looking at and both Toyotas we're looking at, they're all four-cylinder engines. The last two cars that Luke's had three cylinders. So, turbo threes. I might not get a Traverse for my next vehicle I'm looking at. Actually, kind of wouldn't mind a Toyota Highlander. I loved riding in that one. We took some Ubers when I was in Denver, and a couple of the Ubers were one of those Toyota Highlanders, and they were pretty nice and large too, which I liked very much.
Joel likes them large.
Well, I like to have a vehicle that can potentially tow a camper, if you know what I mean.
Joel likes a whole lot of junk in the trunk.
Well, sometimes, yeah. At least I talked my cousin out of, he had idea that when we were
Joel
going
likes
down to
a
South
whole
Carolina,
lot of junk in his cousin's trunk.
When we were going to South Carolina, he was going to go camping down there before hiking 30 miles. I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? I wouldn't want to be sleeping in a tent before I go. Someday I'll do that, but not for this one. If I'm going down there, I want to be well rested. In fact, next Friday, that's the first thing I'm doing is heading down there, and I want to get down there with plenty of time so that I can relax, go to sleep about 8, 9 o'clock because I got to hit the trail by 6:30. 6:30 is when the start is, so I want to get to the trailhead by 6 so I can get registered and all that jazz. Got to make sure my headlamp's charged because we'll probably be starting off, it'll probably still be dark. When we start, what is the sunrise in there on the 9th in Kings Mountain or Blacksburg, South Carolina?
2 days later than anywhere else.
Yeah. Sunrise, May 9. Let's see if it tells me. Oh, sunrise is at 6:27, so we might not be too bad. May need it initially, just so that we can see the trail. But I'm excited. It'll be a good time. And I'm bound and determined to finish that thing. I'm relentless. I want to finish that. But yeah, I was telling Joe, while you were off, Dan, I got to try, curry for the first time. I ain't never had curry, until
last
week.
Oh, you
never
had curry? So,
no,
what kind of curry did you have?
Hedera body.
Okay.
With chicken in it, and it was fantastic. Oh. It was yummy. A place called Mint in Denver.
Curry is delicious. So, was it Hyderabadi curry, right?
Yes. And they asked me how what I wanted the heat level to be. I said medium, and it was right. I don't know. Well, some people may not call it medium, but I thought it was medium. Hydera body curry.
So they gave you the weak sauce.
No. Now see, I could have. I chose chicken, but I could have got vegetable, lamb, shrimp, or salmon, or paneer.
Have you ever? Oh, you've never had paneer, have you?
No.
Oh,
I'm still, sure.
It's
like
good.
It's just cheese, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's kind of close to a. Trying to think here. It's kind of like, almost like. A texture of a ricotta in some respects, a little firmer ricotta, but tastes more like mozzarella.
Yeah.
It's not very strong tasting, and depending on how it's made, it could be closer to like feta or, a cottage cheese.
Now we did have some mixed vegetable, for appetizers, we had mixed vegetable pakora. And some samosas, vegetable samosas.
Did you have like the tamarind sauce?
Yes, that was my favorite. They had both the tamarind and the green one.
The mint.
Yeah, I liked the tamarind better. It was much better.
Did they have the I don't know what exactly it's called, but it's like an onion chutney. It's just like chopped onions and like a tomatoey type sauce.
I think that's what had the tamarind in it was that one, yeah.
Well, there's a tamarind one, then there's a red one that's like chopped onions in a reddish tomato sauce, and then you didn't try the best thing there, did you? The Indian pickle.
No.
Oh my God, you got it.
They didn't have that. I don't think they had that.
Oh,
they had some
that. You said that there's nothing to compare to the
dildo. We had none. Tuesday we had the Mexican, a place called Tamayo. And I forget the name of mine, but I basically had meat skewers, and it had steak, chorizo, and bacon. With, peppers on it, and then it was on like a chorizo, yes.
Chorizo.
Yeah, that's what I had, yes.
Chorizo.
Yeah, you're dropping out.
Man, you're cutting out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you know,
I'm
you
sh- sorry.
I guess that Wi-Fi ain't reaching there.
I guess not.
Not.
Yeah, you are like roboting all over the place.
Yeah. But the Indian was probably my favorite. We had an Italian on Monday, which was okay. I did not get any pasta because I didn't want any pasta.
Is that better?
Yes, it's much better.
Okay.
What were you saying about chorizo?
It's not chorizo. It's chorizo.
Chorizo. Okay, whatever. All right.
There's no T.
Chorizo.
It was good, all right?
You know what? You know what you should do, Joel?
What?
After you, like, do some kind of heavy exercise, you should find an Indian lunch buffet in your town. And go,
dude,
so you can try
you
all the other stuff.
You seriously want me to shit my pants?
I'm telling you, man. You get to try so many different things, and you'll be like, oh, in heaven.
No,
your
might
mouth
be
will
an
just
idea.
Be like.
That may be an idea for a victory meal, if there is one in South Carolina. I'm at the Sleep Inn in Gaffney, South Carolina. Cause I did have a hotel in, Gastonia, but my friends that were going to do it with me from church could not do it. So, and my hotel in Gastonia was $466 for both nights, and I'm like, yeah, I need a cheaper hotel. So I got a cheaper hotel, but right by there, right by that hotel is El Mijo, is a Mexican restaurant. I can't say it. There's a place called Smack, S-M-A-K, and it looks interesting. It has, what's on the menu here? Oh, like lamb pot roast, chicken kebab, lula kebabs, tajik pilaf, stuffed peppers, dolma rolls. It's like a Mediterranean restaurant by the looks of it. But I never heard of a restaurant called Smack before. I thought that that's interesting. Of course, there's a Bojangles and a Zaxby's. Who gives a shit? I'm tired of chicken. I eat chicken all the time, though. And a Quick Trip. Woohoo. It means I can probably get some energy.
Don't get an Indian buffet out of a Quick Trip. That probably wouldn't go.
Oh, hell no. I'll have to look when I get there, Friday and see what's nearby. There is like an outlet, like marketplace right in the same exit. But the only thing I don't like is that the Sleep Inn does not have a hot tub. So, which means I'm gonna have to make my own hot tub in the hotel room. If I need to soak my muscles. I'm not driving back the same day. That's not happening. So, I'm not going to be in any shape to drive 7 hours after hiking for almost 12. So, and here's a Cracker Barrel. Ooh. Ugh.
You don't want a Cracker Barrel? Don't get Indian food at the Cracker Barrel either.
Well, it depends on what you get at Cracker Barrel, whether it's any good or not. You know? Their breakfast stuff's usually decent. But it's definitely, it feels a little bit like, you know, you remember when Bob Evans used to be good? You know, it's got the same problem Bob Evans has. Cracker Barrel was one of those places that used to be good, but in my opinion, I'll eat there, you know, but I'll probably have to make sure I bring something to eat for breakfast, though, because the buffet for the hotel probably is not going to be open at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'll have to hit the road probably about 5:30 to make it down to the trail in time.
I think I've been to a Bob Evans once. So
yeah.
I can't relate that well to what you're saying there, Joel, not because I don't disagree with you to have any opinion of Bob Evans.
I will say this.
I never see a Bob Evans. Unless I'm in some other state.
Right, or like Ohio, where they're all over the place.
Go. Are they really? The only time I've ever seen like a Bob Evans is I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of nowhere right. And there's a Bob Evans. And I'm like, never see him anywhere.
Beginning of the month, guess what Ohio has now?
A Buc-ee's. Oh yeah, you were telling us, about that before. You were gushing all over it.
I love Buc-ee's. I don't think I'll pass one, on the way to West Virginia, although I'll probably stop at a Biscuit World, Friday, probably for, lunch. Tudor's Biscuit World, which are amazing. That's like I would say probably West Virginia only, but there is a couple in Ohio. But they have amazing biscuit sandwiches, man. And that day is the only day I'm gonna try and just get my steps in that day, because the next day I'll probably burn about 5,000 calories. But I'm gonna make a pit stop somewhere in West Virginia on that. I've done that before, Like I did that when I went through there for Southeast Linux Fest. In early June, I get to go to Cincinnati again so I can go to Jungle Gyms again. Oh, I love that place. I love that place. So my go-to biscuit sandwich at Tudor's is called the Duke. It's got bacon, crispy hash browns, egg, and cheese on a homemade biscuit. And I'm not sure if I want to get that.
Wait, what is considered a homemade biscuit?
Like you're like the Southern biscuit style. Not
well. I guess my question is it made in somebody's house or is it
no,
made
it's from a restaurant?
So made from scratch biscuit, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's the biscuits. So that's their sandwiches.
Are you getting that tomorrow?
No, probably when I go on the way down to South Carolina. Because I have to drive through West Virginia, and that's where they're at.
I am making biscuits tomorrow. So
nice.
Those are homemade biscuits, Joel.
I love biscuits. I love biscuits. If I just get the biscuit and nothing else, I'll probably be fine.
I am kind of surprised that Biscuit World is it a franchise? Yeah, it is a franchise.
Yeah, it's a franchise. West Virginia.
And another one is Biscuitville, which is very popular. And I'm surprised that neither one of those places are around here, but they're kind of on
that
the
is
outskirts
surprising.
Around here. Like there's none in Hampton Roads that I'm aware of. Like the closest one I think is, I don't think there's one in, I think it's North Carolina is the closest
one. See, here's one that sounds interesting. They got one called Peppy. Which is pepperoni and melted cheese on a buttermilk biscuit. I wouldn't have thought that would be a good combo, but I guess it might be. But, or I could just get the chicken one, the chicken and biscuit. That would be good. But, I'll buy one while I'm there.
Biscuitville, the nearest one is like 2 hours away.
Three hours away. Now that's if I choose to go through West Virginia, which I probably will because that's the shortest direction. But I can't go down down past my dad's. But that takes me it's 6.5 to 7 hours when I go through West Virginia. But if I go down through Kentucky and into Tennessee to South Carolina, then that would be 8 hours, I think. But the upside is I could stop and say hi to Dad. So, which means it's not 8 hours. It means it's going to be closer to 10. And that ain't happening. So I'll probably drive through West Virginia.
My brother asked me where it was.
I told him, he's like, oh, that's too far. I'm like, why is that too far? He's like, oh, I was going to drive over and see him finish. And I'm like, oh, cool. And my cousin's doing it with me this time. So, and then, both of my wrecking, leaders are going to be doing the Southeast Ohio one in August with me. And so far, I don't know Cuyahoga sold out already. So it's just me and my cousin. In Cuyahoga, and his wife. My cousin's volunteering down at Burr Oak this year, so I might have to volunteer at one of these eventually, because if you volunteer at one of these events, then you can get a free ticket to any of the other ones. So I might look at maybe doing that. I'll have to see if the wife is okay with me doing that the week before the half marathon in Pennsylvania. I'll have to see, because then I can get a free ticket for next year. I should get, if everything works out okay though in South Carolina, I'll walk away with my medal, finisher shirt, and my 100-mile patch. So. Yeah, so right now with the weather forecast prediction, probably taking my bigger pack. Cause it's probably gonna be like 50s in the morning, so I may want to start off with pants instead of shorts. Or I could just freeze myself until I...
And go pantsless?
Go shorts for this start.
Wait, when is it?
Less chafing with pants.
May 9th. I've got a pair of those.
I'm trying to think how
hiking
this
pants
is South Carolina, could, right?
Yeah, right now the forecast is saying like a high of 70, 75.
You should just run through a cornfield, you know,
in 50s in the morning,
naked.
I'd wear shorts if it was me. I don't know.
I'll,
at that
I'll
time of year,
those.
You'd probably be okay to wear shorts.
But yeah, take, I figure a mile or two in, I'd be warm enough.
Take long pants anyway, just in case it is really chilly unseasonably. At least you have them. Not,
yeah.
You don't have to take them on your hike. You just
no, I have them in the bag. Yeah, yeah. I always pack a little bit extra just in case I make a last minute decision to change. I also have shorts and depending on what they'll give me trail conditions next Thursday. At that point I'll decide whether I'm going to throw in, an extra set of trail runners into the pack. Just in case it's sloppy wet and, you know, nothing worse than walking around in sloppy wet shoes. Asking for you to get blisters. My aim is to get through with no blisters, so I'll have my suspect toes all taped up. I did tell you, did I tell you when I finished at the Ohio State race? I thought I did.
No,
double
wait.
Double Dog Challenge?
What did you, this is the one that was in the stadium, right?
Right, I thought I talked about it, but.
You talked about it, I don't know if you said the time.
Yeah, it was, let me go race Penguin, it should still have it in here. 43 minutes, 51 seconds.
Good for you, boss, man. That's
to go how far?
4 mile.
Not bad.
No, I could have done a little, I'm about 3:51 over my wanted time. That's because for whatever reason, there's so many people and then I would get into a rhythm. There'd be like five slower people in front of me that had to weave around. So I think next time I'm going to say I could do faster than I intend on, and then that way there will be less people in front of me. Maybe I can get a better time. I should be able to get a better time. I mean, I'm like this morning I did a 5K run on the treadmill, and the first 20 minutes I sustained my goal pace for the half marathon, which is 10 minutes a mile. I bought new road shoes too. I bought some Hokas again. I went back to Hoka. I went to Hoka Mach 7s, which are a little bit more racier, a little lighter weight.
Oh, Hoka's supposed to be a good brand.
Yeah, I like the Cliftons. These are not quite as cushy as the Cliftons, but they're good enough. My feet don't hurt a lot. Unless I wear them like as long as they're warm in Denver, because I was wearing them on the show floor. yeah, I forgot what it's like to wear shoes all day. You know, my feet swelled up, and then that's how I got a blister on my pinky toe. I think one of these days I want to find a gym where I can start training for High Rocks.
Any gym?
Nope. High Rocks gym would have the equipment I need for the different events, like the ski erg and the rowing machine and the wall balls, sandbag lunges. And then the things that scare me the most about High Rocks, burpee broad jumps. Oof.
Sounds like you need to set up a home gym.
I do at some point. Do.
Kick the wife and kid out and put up a weight room in the rest of the house, right?
Right. Oh. Just have the office and the weight room.
Yeah.
And maybe a cardio room.
I want to get, like, I'd love to get a treadmill like the one they had at the hotel in Denver. That was super sweet. It had a screen built into it. And it was so easy. Like, I could set up intervals, Dan. Like, I could say if I wanted to run some intervals. So say I wanted to run, like, alternating between my walk and my run speeds. I can tell it, alternate the speed for me. And it would do that. It was pretty slick, actually, the way it was.
I think I need to build a desk for my exercise bike.
I kind of want to get one of those walking pads I can put in my desk.
Or at least somewhere to house.
Because it sucks when it's cold out trying to get your steps in and or having to drive to the gym when you don't really want to. But I do. So.
Yeah. Cool. You know what I do when I don't want to go to the gym?
You go anyway.
I don't go to the gym.
Joel doesn't understand that language anymore.
Do you know how often I don't actually want to go to the gym?
Well, obviously all week so far.
Well, no, I told you. I mean, Monday was a rest day. Yesterday, they were threatening us with tornadoes.
Yeah.
Hail and tornadoes.
And your point.
Well, I don't mind my, you know, free ticket to Oz. It sounds like a really good vacation, but it does stress out the family a little bit.
I'm sure. I should get my bike out and ride some too. Actually, I need to get a road bike. I need to get a road bike.
I gotta get mine pumped back up. My manual or my automatic, you know, air compressor, my air gun, freaking died. So.
Yeah, the bike I have now is more like a mountain bike. And I'd like to get something a little bit more.
The hail they were saying was supposed to be the size of like Whataburger burgers.
Oh, well, that's not very big.
It's not very big for a burger, but for a chunk of ice falling from the sky, yeah, that's kind of big.
That's true. Here's hoping the weather holds out. So far, it's looking okay.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be 60s today, but the humidity just freaking killed it.
I walked after work and I had to get out my jacket I got at the Hot Chocolate Run because I was cold. Something about losing weight, you lose all that insulation, man.
Yeah, well,
it hurts to sit on hard chairs.
And because you're eating less, it's also you're producing less body heat as well.
See, I still have calories left, so I'm probably going to have some pretzels.
Mm.
Dots pretzels.
Have some ice cream.
You know what? I have to look and see if there's any ice cream down there. Maybe I might do that instead. We got Carb Smart. Well, I think if there's any of that left, there's some Carb Smart peanut butter cup, which is pretty decent. I still need to get a creamy, Ninja Creamy.
I love mine. Yeah. Right now I just have a freezer space issue.
How many containers you got?
I have eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to order some, I need to order my nutrient pack, and I need to order some hydration sticks and more clear protein.
Yeah.
Probably some meat sticks too, or some protein bars or both.
I need to reevaluate my diet again. I do want to stay around 3,000 calories or so, but I want to gear more towards protein again.
I am at 2240 a day. That said, I'm still having, I might start modifying that because I might change my goal weight to be what I am today and just maintain.
Well, the Penguins game is going into overtime. It's 0-0 at the end of the third.
Shit!
Right? Damn. That's kind of awesome.
That's kind of a good game, man.
Oh, yeah. Everybody playing hard.
No lie, I kind of want Philly to win, but then, you know, I live there for
part of my life. I kind
of want
Philly to fly off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, you still got the Dallas Stars, right?
Ooh.
They're in it.
Like, I give a shit about the Dallas Star.
You don't like the Dallas Stars?
Nah. I mean, I'll watch them because a lot of my friends are big into the Stars, so.
Yeah, yeah. CBJ never made it this year, so yeah, there's that.
I'll support my friends' teams if my team's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, Blue Jackets had their final game on the 14th. Got their asses kicked, too.
Oh, it's 10 o'clock. It's time for...
It is.
For Joe to
Dan's
go to the gym, I guess,
to a
according
pumpkin.
To Joe.
No, he's well, in the gym.
Look,
He's in his garage gym.
I'm now in my garage. Like, yesterday I didn't go to the gym. I did an hour on the exercise bike.
There you go.
So, like, today I'm watching the hockey game right now, and they just went into overtime. And whether they win or lose decides whether or not there's another game. So
this is true.
Plus, I've been also trying to get a proper amount of sleep instead of, you know, 4 hours a night. Evidently, that's supposed to be helpful.
Let's see if you can see this. I'll send this, and you guys can see the participants guide for my event.
So I'm trying to get at least 6 or 7 hours of sleep a night.
I am too, and failing miserably.
Yeah, I'm not very good at it for whatever reason. Oh, the link opened up Chrome, which will slow my computer down.
You need a new computer then, huh? I think they already had the Virginia one a few weeks ago. I'm gonna have to look at that one next year.
This particular machine is a little old. Let me LSPU and
downloading a PDF must be playing Murder on Your Bandwidth.
Oh, it's a bandwidth issue. This has an i5-4300 in it.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little old.
I'm going to play this out.
Do it.
Here we go.
I am sure.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Well, this is earth-shattering. Costco's making a rare change to its legendary hot dog combo.
What, are they increasing the price?
No, they're keeping the same, but you can choose a bottle of water instead of the pop.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Good on Costco.
I
love
guess.
Costco.
I have never been inside one yet. I should.
Oh, man, I love Costco. We go
I like my Sam's Club. Yeah, I go to Sam's Club every payday.
Yeah, we have a Sam's Club near us, but we haven't been there much. We found the pricing hasn't been, you know, all that much better than anywhere else.
It depends what you get.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying, in bulk enough, then yeah, right. I guess.
But that's where I get my veggie snacks that I have with my lunch usually.
I would need a larger freezer, and I think deep. I need one anyway, but.
Oh, I got a deep freeze in my garage. That was one of the first things I did when I bought that house.
I do have a deep freeze, but, you know, it's small. It's only like 3.5 foot tall.
See what, now Sam's Club has, two things, that are very similar that I bought. One is, and I bought these before, they have, Gary's Quick Steaks. They're like, kind of like a, like for making cheesesteaks, right? But they also have a chicken variant, and I bought those for the first time, like, a couple weeks ago, and I finally made some, for lunch the other day, and they were pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Today. And then yesterday, there was tornado warnings. And then Monday was a rest day. So, yeah, the last time I went was, you know, Sunday.
So, can Philly beat the Pens tonight?
I hope not.
Because if they do, they win.
Yeah, this round.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it makes it to Game 7.
And I don't think Columbus is in it at all this year, which is not a surprise.
Matter of fact, I might turn on the game out here.
There you go. See, Philly is up 3-2 in the series.
Yep.
The Ducks.
Game 6.
You're watching the... Are you watching the Flyers?
That's on in the living room right now.
Okay. Holy crap, the Vegas Golden Knights are in the playoffs? Holy crap.
Not all that surprising.
Yeah, you know, I don't follow hockey all that much, to be honest.
They were there their first season, too, and that's mostly because, you know, it's all former Penguins players.
All right. Last time I followed it with any regularity is when I lived in the Philly area. Early part of high school.
So, 100 years ago?
Yeah, pretty much. Put it this way, Ron Hextall was the goalie when I watched hockey. for Philly. And one of the very few goalies that scored a goal.
That happens more often than you think.
But now.
Still, there ain't nothing like watching a goalie meet another goalie out at center ice and break his jaw.
Now Joel just watches heated rivalry. Right, Joel?
No. No, I just want to walk 30 miles in a... about a week.
While watching heated rivalry.
Week from Saturday.
Oh, so did you guys have a show last week?
Joel wasn't here, and when I logged in, you weren't here, so I just
I joined
a little bit. Oh, you must have joined right after I left, right before I left, or right.
I joined
after
at like 8:30. No, it was like super late when I joined.
Because I waited till like 8:40, I think, and no, I just figured that.
Well, okay. When I remember, I'm an hour off from you.
In Dallas or Denver. I mean, sorry, Denver.
Like you were in Dallas and you didn't stop by, you prick.
No, Denver. I wish it was Dallas. Would have been better. At least had more humidity because Denver was dry as fuck.
All right, I guess we should get the show started.
Yeah.
Because after we go, I got to step away for a minute and finish something. I'm sorry, I'm late. I had stuff I was doing outside of the house. Here we go. This is 1,135. Let's do it.